Oh my gosh, TRL. I remember like when I came home, I had a snack and I was watching TRL. And the way that Usher's Burn music video is burned into my brain, him standing around the pool and it's on fire. I swear, every time it comes on, Thomas looks at me. He's like, "You gonna tell me about Usher's music video now that this song's on?" And I'm like, "I have to." All I can think about is I can do body rolls and I can listen to this and just think of Usher in his white suit in the flames. That's all I think. I can't help it.
Being a mom is hard. Being a business owner and a mom is even harder. So we love to talk shop together, whether that's what we're planning to have for dinner in our homes or what we're planning for next quarter in our content calendars.
But most of all, we love to hear the stories of other moms who have built their businesses and brands. We've dreamed of becoming business besties with some of our favorite business owners online, and we are going to use this podcast to do exactly that.
Come for the stories behind how moms built their businesses, aka the business banter. Then stay for the laughter and candid conversations, aka the bestie banter.
This is the Bestie Business Banter Podcast.
Okay, we are so excited to have Sarah Whitaker on the podcast. Sarah is our podcast editor, our real life podcast editor of both of our business podcasts, and she edits this podcast. So she is a mom and a business owner, and we wanted to introduce her to you because we love her as a person and as a friend. So welcome to the show, Sarah.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm like giddy over here. I was so pumped when I got your invitation, and I'm just thrilled to be here. So excited to chat.
Well, and we knew we wanted you from the beginning, but we also said from the beginning, we can't just like only ask our friends or only ask people in our little sphere. We want to reach out to different people so that listeners aren't like, this is so, so, so niche. So we've been hanging on to asking you, but now is time.
It is time.
And I did make note, you are the first guest, I think, to show up with headphones and a mic. So the sound is going to be top notch, which I'd expect nothing less from a podcast manager.
Yeah, your editor will be so grateful, aka me.
Why don't you tell them? That was funny, what you guys just said. Okay, why don't you tell them what you do? Give them a little context before we dive in.
Yeah, so to put it like really simply and briefly, my company is called Podcasting for Educators, and we work with online educators to help them start and grow podcasts that they can use as a marketing tool for their business. And I kind of have two different sides to my business. On one side, I have a boutique podcasting agency where we do like full podcast production for retainer clients like Lauren and Rebecca, where we do the editing, show notes, uploading, graphics, all of that stuff. And then on the other side, I have a podcast of my own. And I have a few online courses for podcasters, depending on where they are in their podcasting journey.
So you really cover it all.
You do. And like, we are so excited you're here because one, you're really good at what you do. We can both attest to that firsthand. Like, I would not have a podcast, let alone a second podcast for fun, if it wasn't for you. Like, I genuinely wouldn't. I love that I can truly just put out the audio and then you do everything from there. But not just like your services, just you as a business owner, you've done so great from day one, like with your branding and your colors, with your fonts. Like I know Podcasting for Educators when it's on my feed on Instagram. And like you put out such good, valuable content. I think that all of the time, like even someone who isn't using your boutique services like me, like you're putting out so much goodness. And then the other thing I love is you niched down so specifically. And that was so smart. Like, I feel like when I started my podcast, there was like not really that much in the secondary market. There still isn't.
Yeah.
And you still chose to be like, I'm going to do this thing specifically for educators. And I just think that was so wise.
I'm excited for listeners to hear your story because you're a mom and you were in the classroom. And I know that we have teachers listening. I know that we have people who are doing side hustles while they're teaching and working full time, but have dreams of doing something else. And I think they're going to love hearing your story of how you started that and how you grew that. And just because you liked podcasts, like that wasn't a skill that you did in college or something and then decided to, oh, I'm just going to change gears. It was something you learned with the skills that you had and then skills that you acquired and stuff. So I'm excited. I love watching your business grow and like cheering you on and talking all things business and podcasting with you. It's really fun to know the behind the scenes. So I'm glad we get to share your story with everybody.
Well, thanks so much, guys. It's been so fun working with you all. And I hope that there are teachers listening, because as you guys know, like, we would have never dreamed that we would have our own business after being, after working in the school. I know Lauren was a counselor, not a teacher, but still, like, same kind of environment. And now that we have our own businesses, it's just like wild to think about the journey that we've all been on.
I know, but, and I love that you've chosen something different, because I think a lot of teachers think like, I got to do TPT in right. order to like transition out of the classroom. And it's like, nope, you sure don't. And I just think your story is going to really inspire people. The other thing I'll say before we get into some bestie banter is you are one of the reasons why I started really niching down my team. I hired you during a season where I had probably the biggest my team has ever been. And I just liked you so much as a person. And other people on my team, like Lauren, like Allison, like my friend Catherine, these people on my team that I was like, I don't really want anyone to work for me now that's not my friend.
Yes.
Like, that's a qualification.
I don't want to like Slack and email with people that I also don't want to like voice memo with. And so I that was part of me realizing like, I don't want to manage people either. And that's what I love. I love being one of your clients because like you are so independent. It's awesome. And then when we do talk, I like love it. And I'm like, want to know how your week was, not just like how late am I on my podcast submission,
right?
You know?
Oh my gosh, I know, but it's so true. Like I always tell people, I honestly am so grateful for the clients that I have. Like I hear horror stories from other people in the online, other service providers, like even service providers that specifically work with TPT sellers, and I'm like, I can't relate to anything that you guys are saying because I honestly have the most fun and like most kind clients ever. So
well, and that's how I feel about this. Is a tangent, but like Curtis doing Facebook ads, I'm like, I don't even want to put his name out there. Like, he's like, oh, I would take more clients, but I want to be very careful about that. Like, I'm like, I want people who we're going to enjoy working with. That's kind of it's a two-way street to have a client or a customer who you enjoy working with just as much as you're providing that service for them. Like, I know we're going to provide a good service, but will we enjoy doing it? Because when you get to be choosy, you want to be when you know that you can work with great people.
100%. And I know this is a tangent, but it is true. Like I know now if I start working with somebody that maybe like I didn't see red flags for in the beginning and it, you know, I get that like stomach drop when I see that I have a message from them, time to cut ties. It's not worth it. We created our own businesses to work with who we wanted, have the flexibility that we want, have it bring joy to our life and not unnecessary stress. Yeah,
exactly.
Well, and I should say, as like a slight caveat, is not every person that I no longer work with is their fault. A lot of them was my fault. Like I got excited about hiring and just hired like so many people and didn't really have clear job roles. And then they were like not doing it, but I didn't know what I need, you know, or, you know, you phase out of things. Also, I thought I was going to like managing people. And then I realized I really don't. So that's why I love my little tiny
people
team
who
now.
Can work independently.
Yeah. Okay. Let's do some bestie banter. And per usual, you like many others.
We've got a blood boiler.
Want to start with the blood boiler.
Everybody has those things that piss them off. It's funny. Everybody chooses this one.
I know. Are we going to get an explicit rating now, Sarah?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I can't make any promises that I won't drop any F-bombs. But if I do, we'll be getting an explicit rating for this episode.
Okay. Well, I'm going to start because this is something I just like am really thinking of. And I think about it every single day. Is the timing of preschool and or kindergarten, like the time that the day starts. Okay. So here's my thoughts. I have a lot of thoughts, but I'm going to try to narrow it down. My son goes to kindergarten at 7:15. It starts at 7:45 and gets out at like 2:45. My like preschoolers don't start until 9. So I have this hour and a half gap where I'm like, what are we doing? And every day, my 4-year-old today crying because she wants to go to school already. And I'm like, well, honey, I can't take you there. The door isn't open. I mean, you know, I guess I could like try to run an errand. Like, I don't know. I just feel like there's not that much to do. And when my oldest gets up, everyone gets up. Like dream scenario, the others would be still asleep, but that's not the case. So we're like already at 7:15 sharp and then we're just hanging out. And I just feel like, or at least when Lauren and I worked together, our school, the high school was from 8:45 to 3:45. I think that higher grades, secondary grades should start earlier. They should be like the 7:30, 2:30, so that all those high schoolers can go do their clubs or whatever, or go work their jobs.
Or pick up the kids from school.
or pick up their little siblings and then they can get to sleep. Whereas I'm like, can we make the, let the little kids start at 8:30, 8:45, 9, all of the little kids, you know what I'm saying? Because those little babies need more sleep and they need to sleep in. All they do when they get home is, you know, play and watch a Bluey and eat a snack.
Would you not say the same thing about a high schooler, that they need to sleep later?
No, but I think they all, high schoolers have more going on after school. So I think they need more time to get said things. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think, I just think about how many kids I knew were leaving and then going to work after or whatever. Like, what if they were out by 2:30, could get to their job at 3, work a 6-hour shift till 9, then still have an hour or so for homework?
I feel the same, you know, on the home front. But did you know, I'm playing devil's advocate, in Greenville County, it used to be flipped. It used to be high school started earlier and then elementary schools. And you know, they have to stagger it because of the buses.
Right.
But then there were all these scientific findings that high schoolers did better a little bit later.
Interesting. I'm just thinking, me as a high schooler, I'm like, I'm going to sleep until 30 minutes before school starts, no matter what time it starts.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm like, you know, I don't know.
My high school was early. It was 7:30 and we all got out at 1:45.
Whoa. Dang.
Not like if you were going to a career center or anything like that. Everybody was out at 1:45. I had like a full day ahead of me.
Interesting.
I actually think that mine was similar to that, Lauren. We were a little bit later. I want to say maybe we got out at like 2:15. So maybe school started at like 7:45 or something like that. My brother was a swimmer. He had to be at swim practice at like 4:30 a.m. every morning. So he was up anyway before going to school. That's how we are here in Virginia, at least the county that I'm in. They do high school, then middle school, then elementary school.
I love that. I mean, blood boils a strong statement, because I mean, I get that they have to do what they have to do. More for me, that hour and a half dead time every day.
That must make you feel like so unproductive.
It's such a waste of time. Like, I normally try to put on like 4 Blueys for my 18-month-old and 4-year-old and then try to at least get my email done or something.
Yeah.
But it's like not enough time to go to the gym with them. Like, I don't know. It's just,
I've been using that hour to like start or change over some laundry. I undo the dishwasher. Like, I don't wake up any earlier. I start my day when they do. And then I have one kid less there during that time, but I try and be productive in the home at that point.
That's true. I get up at 6 so I can have some quiet time and hot coffee, but I literally washed and dried and remade our bed sheets all in that hour and a half.
Oh, yeah. That's why I told you last week that I deserve a treat. After that hour, I've done so many things. I've been more productive in that hour than most of the other times in my day.
I know. By the time I've dropped Adeline at the bus stop, do you know how many steps I already have? I'm like, right. No freaking wonder I'm exhausted by 9 a.m.
Right? I literally almost made a second cup of coffee before we started this. But then I decided I would drink out of my new Stanley instead.
I have water bottle thoughts I'm going to share with you guys today.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait. All right, who else has a blood boiler?
I have so many blood boilers today.
You're also pregnant, so that just like creates them.
Okay, I'm going to start with, oh man, I just don't know which one. Okay, I went to the dentist last week, and this always boils my blood, but I was like, I'm writing this down so I don't forget, and this is timely since I was just there. I have a permanent bottom retainer. And when the hygienist goes to floss between your teeth with a permanent bottom retainer, they take 3.1 miles of floss and they drag the whole thing through these tiny spaces in your teeth. And it just like, it like makes my whole body get chills pulling the whole thing through. I guess you want to have enough that you're going to have like clean pieces. I don't know. I'm like, it's gross. And then the texture of it going through. It might just be a me thing. I don't know. Is this?
Really get in there with it too, right?
They do. And it's a small spot. And then they drag the whole thread through and then do it again through each of the like 4 or 5 spots. And it, I just think, you know, I've never spoken up about this, this injustice as I'm there.
Can you use less?
Yeah. Please? Like, why do we need this much?
Well, you should be lucky you have a bottom retainer built in, because I still have like just 2 plastic top and bottom. And sometimes if Thomas starts talking to me at night, we start having a conversation, I have to like take basically my dentures out. And they're like, you know, the spit just is connected just so I can talk to him.
Well, last time I was there, they were like, oh, this came loose. We're going to need to glue it and then charge you for it. I was like, it wasn't loose before I came here. And it's like,
you use 18 meters of floss.
Right. That's probably ripped. You probably ripped it right out.
I just got fitted for those night guards for the top and bottom, and he gave it to me, and I'm like, is this really what we're still working with in 2023? Is like this? And right? I feel like my entire mouth is just going to fall out when I take that thing out.
I know. I feel like the only expansion in technology since we all got braces is the fact that now they just print your retainers in office, like in a 3D printer. Ooh. Like they do the mold and then they can just print it in like 30 minutes.
But braces haven't changed in 100 years.
So bad.
Literally, I had to get braces a second time as an adult when I was pregnant with Nan. And orthodontist was like, I was like, can I get an Invisalign? He was like, listen, I can do it for a fraction of the cost and way faster if you just let me do the old school way. And I was like, let's do it. Let's ride.
So you got like colored rubber bands.
Yeah, I got colored bands. It was cute.
Your Christmas bands.
Glow in the dark, Halloween, orange and black.
Let's change them out. And then the rubber bands that go from like, did you have to have the cross ones?
Yeah, because your jaw's like not right. Yeah.
Y'all, I had to have headgear at one point at night.
Please send a picture. Please find one. Put it on the Voxer. It's a picture.
Okay, what's worse? You having headgear when you had braces or me having braces my freshman year of college?
Oh, gosh. I'd say, bad. Yeah.
I'd take headgear in fifth grade.
And it was just at night.
Yeah.
How did you have it in college still? What was going on?
I just, late bloomer, I like didn't lose my teeth and my teeth didn't get crooked until late high school. I didn't. And my mom regrets our pediatric dentist. Like he just like never really pushed it. And she was like, I think you could have done them before.
Yeah.
And we just didn't do it.
They do it in like third grade. They're doing like double braces now. Like third
grade.
No,
I was nowhere near losing all my teeth in third grade. Right. I think I like got my final teeth pulled in high school because I
I can't talk about dental stuff anymore. This is my blood boiler. All the dental stuff. Gross.
Okay. Sarah, what's yours?
Okay, my blood boiler, and this is not just recent. This is something that has pissed me off my whole life. And that is when you guys probably have never had this problem with what your names are. I cannot stand when people spell your name wrong in an email, in an Instagram DM. Like my email address is literally sarah@podcastingforeducators.com. S-A-R-A. No H.
Like they had to get it from somewhere.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, type it in.
Take a couple minutes and look to make sure that my name is spelled right. I'm like such a freak about that. I always like triple check when I'm writing people's names or writing an email or putting it on a podcast episode or whatever. It just makes me so mad. I'm like, I don't even want to respond to you because you put an H at the end of my name.
Is that usually what it is, an H, or is it like your name wrong altogether?
It's an H. It's an H. Okay. They put an H at the end of my name.
Well, I'll tell you, I had the most recent principal I worked for, names not to be named. He's not going to listen to this, but he responded to an email of mine before. Like, one, I'm your employee. So like, I would like to think that you would know my name. And I sent an email and he responded to it and called me Linda.
No.
Hey, Linda.
Not even close.
Like, what? And he was bad with names. He called my coworker Lorraine. He'd call her Elaine, Laura, my other coworker Laura on her last day, her like exit interview. He was like, Lauren, it was so great having you work for us. She's like, that's not my name.
Like, that's so bad.
Names are so important.
They're so important.
Yeah.
And something like an email where you can see the name of the person who sent it to you, or you're pitching something really important, you would think the name is something that we should pay attention to.
Yeah. Like I'll get podcast pitches to like come on my podcast and they spell my name wrong.
You said
no. That is like step one.
Literally no.
Podcast pitch.
We've gotten the same things. We've gotten the exact same. We had a man pitch to come on the Bestie Business Banter pod. And we were like, pretty sure you didn't even look at the cover image that said
the cover image says like for moms and this is
yeah. Like, or listen to the trailer at all. Like, this is not your vibe, sir. Or you're not invited to this party. I'm sorry.
that's important.
He knew nothing about us. Okay. Let's do a little luxury.
Okay. I'll go first. So I have two because I have one that's like always been a little luxury. Well, for the last few years. And that is my gel eye masks that I put on in the morning. Have you guys ever used these before?
I've gotten them in like a Secret Santa before. And I think they're still in my fridge.
Okay, they're on like auto ship for me on Amazon because it is just like a little luxury, a way to start my morning just feeling good. They're always nice and cold. Just plop them on there, come down, make my coffee, just feeling good.
Okay, so are they reusable? Are they, what's the situation?
They're not reusable, but there's like 30 sets in a pack and they're cheap. I mean, you can get them for like less than 10 bucks on Amazon.
Love it. So you get up and that's like the first thing you do, or do you do skincare, then put them on, then get
I wash my face.
Okay.
And then I put my lotion on and then I put my eye masks on.
Do you have an Amazon storefront?
I don't, but I'll share a link.
Are they the gold ones?
Uh-huh.
That's what I have. But I've never done them in the morning. I've done them at night. I'm going to start my morning with them.
Oh, you got to do them in the morning.
And I look more alive and more refreshed than I know that I look.
I don't, do they work? I don't know, but they feel good.
Listen,
they feel really good.
They do work because I remember like the morning of a branding shoot once, waking up feeling like a literal trash can, and my eyes were so swollen and I put them on and I feel like they do help.
They do. Yeah. I have really bad allergies and like my eyes get really puffy and they feel so good.
I love that.
I highly recommend. 10 out of 10. And then my newest little luxury is my newest water bottle.
What is it?
I brought it to show you guys.
Oh, I've
I don't
those.
Love the color that I chose. So look past that. Okay?
It's not your brand colors. But that's okay.
The colors kind of remind me of like a parrot or something.
I don't know. I was feeling like in a fun mood when I picked it out. But it's called the Owala. Have you guys used this one yet?
I've seen it on Instagram.
I literally just bought the ice flow.
Okay.
She's like, now there's a new one.
Listen, this, because I had the Stanley. I'm like a water bottle collector. It's bad. Craig, every time a new one comes in, he makes me throw one out because he's like, this is too intense. When he found out that I bought this, he was not happy. But I don't like taking water bottles out in public when the straw is exposed.
Right. Mm. Which is why I transitioned to ice flow, because this was grossing. It was grossing me out. It like folds down.
And you can throw it in a bag. That's what I love too.
Nice. Okay. So that's kind of what this one is. You pop it open and my friend said it looks like I'm like playing the flute or something. Cause you like put your mouth over it. So, but you don't even see the straw. The straw is like in there and the flow.
So this
is
would
just
be great
perfect.
If you're like a germaphobe about your straw.
Yes. This started because somebody was recommending it to me and I went out of town last week and I always like to have a water bottle with me when I'm in the airport, but it grosses me out if like anything is exposed. And this is just, it's really nice.
Well, cause for this, you fold down the straw, but technically the top is still kind of exposed. So that's nice. I might have to put that on Santa might have to fill my stocking with that. By Santa, I mean me, because I am Santa and that's a banter for another day, but I am all about filling your own stocking. So
put it on your list.
Yeah, send us the link to that.
Amazing. I will.
Okay, something that I'm liking right now is I think I have ordered 3 Nuuly bags, Nuuly. Have y'all ever ordered Nuuly before?
No, but I've heard about it.
Is this kind of like Stitch Fix?
Yes, but Stitch Fix, you're buying the clothes and you get a discount if you buy all of them. And it's about, okay, so Stitch Fix is 25 or 30 bucks and then you get it mailed to you and then that money is applied to whatever you buy. Nuuly, you can buy the things, but I look at it as the purpose is more rental. And so as my body is changing and I don't really want to buy a lot of clothes, this is nice. Like maybe once a week I have something to dress up. You get to keep it for a month is kind of the amount of time before you're charged again, before you can get your next box. But you pick out 6 things. They're all really nice things that you can pick from. Lots of like Anthropology stuff and there's lots of reviews. And I've been picking like dresses because like the weather is nice out and that's what's comfortable for me right now. But I got like a sweater this last time and you get 6 things. And
what's the price?
$100.
Oh,
and do you get to choose like the specific items or do you? Oh, nice.
Okay. Yeah. So I can choose things in my cool summer palette. I can read the reviews and make sure, you know, it's going to be good. But I haven't gotten anything that I really don't like yet. You know, maybe something fits weirder than I thought. But for the most part, I'm like for $100 and I had a coupon code that I think I got $20 off both of the first times, first 2 times. So $80. I know it's not like it's a little luxury because I am spending money on it, but it's making my life a little better because I really don't have to think I'm not going out and buying maternity clothes or anything like that. I'm just buying what's comfortable for right now.
Especially during this stage for you, because God, I spent so much money on maternity clothes because they just fit, like they do fit better. They make you feel good.
You feel so much better.
Yeah.
And from one kid to another, the styles change. I mean, I don't really have that much like leftover from last time, but you know, what I have is more like comfy clothes for home, not like dressing up. I have one pair of like skinny jeans, but are we wearing skinny jeans anymore? I don't think so.
This girl is.
Yeah.
I am holding on to my skinny jeans as long as I can, guys.
Same. I bought my first pair of flares this fall after telling Lauren I didn't think anyone looked good in flare jeans, but I still haven't worn them because it's just like, I don't even know. Like, what shoes do I wear? I don't know. I'm just like
Doc Martens for middle school.
I need my like support blanket skinny jeans, but
same. I have them on right now.
I love it. My one concern with Newly, because I've wanted to do it, is I am afraid I would like it so much and then I don't want to send it back.
But you can buy it.
I know, but they're all so much more expensive than I normally shop.
Well, go into it knowing I'm going to rent it. Otherwise, then do Stitch Fix and you'll get new clothes, you know?
I love this idea because my toxic trait is thinking like, oh, we have a barbecue this weekend. I need to go buy a new top.
Right. You can kind of look at your month at the calendar and be like, okay, well, I'll have something for every weekend if I go and do something fun. But like the last box, I got a couple shirts and same thing. It was like we were having people over to cook out and I had a nice tank top to wear.
Okay. So what's the cleaning situation? Like, are you allowed to clean the clothes? Are you not supposed to? That would make me nervous with my children ruining the clothes. Yeah,
that's a great question. And I wish I knew the answer. I wash it if I'm going to wear it again. But if I'm getting to the point where I'm going to send it back, I just put it back in the bag.
Okay. So there isn't like a rule.
Somebody else's problem.
Maybe there is. I haven't looked into it. You do have to bring it back to the UPS store. I mean, they pay for the shipping, but it's not... Mm-hmm. I want to say Stitch Fix, I used to put on my doorstep and like USPS would come pick it up. You know, there's some things like that. But there's UPS right by my house, so.
Does it come in a box or a bag?
It is like I'd get up and get it for you, but it's like a zippy bag.
Oh, good. I don't know what it is. I hate getting these giant boxes and then like repackaging something in a box. Like I love when it's like the bag with the sticky that you like flip, you know, if you're sending it back.
Yep. Yes. I can send it right back. Well, it's not even that. It's like a nice quality. It's like a material bag.
Ooh.
And they just like slap a new sticker on it. I can see the name of the person who had it before me.
Interesting. Maybe I'll try that for like Christmas season when you have like a bunch of parties.
Right. You know? I'll get you a code or something.
Yeah. Give me a little affiliate link or referral code.
I'm sure there's one. I'll find it. What are you loving right now?
Okay. My little luxury right now is kind of boring, but it's just the way I feel delighted when I walk by a space that I've organized. Mm. And I'm like, this just functions so well. And it makes me so happy. I recently-
Like your little mudroom space now?
Yeah. I recently redid our little drop zone in our rental house, which like was a little tricky because I didn't want to commit to like buying something or installing something. I want it to be very transient since we may only be here for 6 more months. That's what they're saying, which I just cannot believe. I think it's going to be 9 to 12. But anyways, I just, every day I walk by now or every moment, I'm just like, I love this. Or every time I open my fridge, having my little jars of my fresh washed produce that I've organized, I just like am so tickled. Like it just is like so nice. And even when we did
that's
our-
just part of your personality.
It is. It's like that's where it's just like you. A little luxury for me. Like every time I'll be like, Thomas, just look at those key rings. And he's like, don't care. And I'm like,
he's like, cool.
So happy. Or I did a really good job on, we went to like QE this weekend, Sarah. And
yay.
I did a great job like organizing our car so that I had really easy access to like the different snacks or toys or whatever that each kid needs. And then I had this toy lacrosse stick that I used to like passing back to the third row to tee. But like, it just made the whole 5-hour trip so much easier because it was so organized. Everything made sense. And then we got out of the car. Like I had a system. It just made me so tickled. And it just, those little, just little luxuries makes the little moments of the day better.
I appreciate that. I love a good little organized space. Do you guys use reusable grocery bags?
Yes.
We have 100 of them.
We are all about save the turtles in the low country. So there are no plastic bags.
I don't think you guys have Wegmans where you are.
Mm-mm. No.
Okay. It's a really just beautiful grocery store. It makes me so happy to do grocery shopping there. And the people, I swear, have gotten thorough training on how to like meticulously pack a reusable grocery bag. And it is amazing to watch them. And then just like walking out with your groceries nice and organized.
I feel like that's me at Aldi. Like I have a system. If they try to put me at the thing and make me go pack my stuff later, I'm like, mm-mm. Watch and learn.
You're like, no, I put it on the conveyor belt so all the cold stuff is going together. All the fragile stuff is right. going together.
I have 3 bags and then when I bring them in, each bag goes to a different part of my house. But luckily they only have like 1 worker in all of Aldi, so they never really like get on you there, you know, because right. that's how they keep the prices down is like no staffing whatsoever. Also, like, what's going on with the eggs at Aldi? Do you guys have Aldi?
I don't go to Aldi.
Wait, are you about to say that there's chicks hatching from them? Did you hear these stories?
No, but now I'm terrified.
Wait, this was Trader Joe's. This is a thing.
At Trader Joe's, of all places.
Happening. I'm not kidding. I'm going to have to find the article and send it to you guys. People are getting these eggs and literally there are chicks inside and they are hatching at their house.
They're partially incubated.
You know what? This is going to be like the story I told you guys about the standing room on airplanes. This is true. And I'm going to find it and I'll send it to you. Check your eggs.
Disturbed is the right word.
The 1.5 people that work at Aldi throw the egg crates into the fridge. I have never once opened that egg container
and they were all solid.
And found 12 solid. And then the savages there, which honestly, I respect their game. They're rearranging. They're like, they're moving and compiling. So you'll open one and it'll have 3 cracked eggs, no other eggs. You're like, getting eggs at Aldi is a battle, but I mean, at least they're not incubated. So there's that, pros and cons, I guess. All right. I feel like, okay, for time's sake, I think we can only do one more, but I really kind of want to do millennial memories.
Well, this is one that we love. This is, you know, some sort of memory or thing that you as a millennial will relate to, but you know, our kids one day are going to be like, what are you talking about? That hasn't, or even, you know, my parents were not even aware that this was happening, as we were in high school and stuff. So millennial memories, I said, I really wanted to talk about the music scene because, I mean, I know Rebecca, you have a millennial mom playlist. I love a good millennial playlist. That was my music prime. I mean, I went to concerts all the time. I crowd surfed at concerts. I wore little band t-shirts,
and a tiny denim skirt,
youth medium t-shirts. What? I mean, but they fit me because I was an Ethiopian skinny high schooler. But what is that song that I always laugh at on reels when they put that emo song?
Secondhand Serenade, Fall for You. Tonight will be the night that I will fall for you.
They can put that song on any emu, llama, rhino, high school picture. When people make those reels of people in their high school with their senior pictures. I mean, I cry laughing every single time. It's that song over anything. And I just start laughing.
What do you think our parents thought when they were hearing the music that we were listening to? Why are you so depressed?
Right. You must be sad.
But also, depression is higher now than it was when we were there. So maybe it was helping us process.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And get to a place where now we can talk about it.
Do you think that high schoolers now are as invested in music as we were? Because I just feel like the work we were putting in on LimeWire to get that song without any viruses.
Napster. You move from one thing to the next when you started getting too many viruses on your computer.
100%.
As a parent, I think I would be more angry than my parents were about that. Why are you downloading viruses to our family computer in the computer room?
But then the way that you would put together a burn CD.
The perfect mix CD.
That the vibe and the aesthetic of the transition of songs, the labels.
And the binder, the big binder.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I think we have some similar taste in music, Sarah. I don't know what you listened to in high school, but I loved Fall Out Boy, was a member of the fan club, Panic at the Disco, Motion City soundtrack, Jack's Mannequin, Cute is What We Aim For. There were some more obscure ones. Oh, you know them. Oh, you know them too. Kind of the more obscure, the better when you're into emo music. If it's someone new coming on the scene, you're trying to get there and get to a show before, you know, everybody else hears about them. But I mean, just the whine in the voice. Swoon, this is the same. The way I can go back to a moment, I'm in a parking lot at the beach listening to this song, or we're at a house party and this song comes on. The millennial memories that come flooding in my brain when these soundtracks come on is incomparable.
And isn't it amazing that we remember every single word.
Every word.
Every single song. And I can't even remember what I walked down the stairs for.
Literally.
But it must be the same way that husbands remember the certain plays that happen in certain games. I was going to say national championship games, but it could just be the Florida-Tennessee game from 2016. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
There's no space in my mind for that. But there is an entire archive of, you know, millennial songs.
like Lollipop Remix. Like, why do I know? Why could I rap that entire song on the spot?
Lil
right
Wayne's
now?
Whole The Carter album. Like, that's not even in the emo genre, but I know every word to it.
Well, and that I was going to say, I was a little bipolar in my music taste.
Right, right. You had the club music.
We
too.
Had Ja Rule on one hand. Okay.
Nelly, Ride
Wing Yang Twins. Right.
My ringtone that I, you know, paid like $1.25 to download was Ignition Remix. R. Kelly, before he was, you know, peeing on people. Didn't he do that? Wasn't that what R. Kelly did? He was my ringtone back in the day. I did not have a playback tune. I just thought that was, sometimes I thought that was annoying when people had those. Because if it was not a good song, you're like, I don't want to listen to your playback song or whatever it was.
Did you have the voicemail that was like, hey, hey, oh, I gotcha. just leave a message. I'm not actually here.
Absolutely. At one point I had the Gwen Stefani song. Sorry, I'm not home right now. I'm walking in.
That's good. That's good. A pun on like some sort of phone call or something.
Those were terrible.
I definitely, as an educator, had parents who still had ringback tones when I would call, like a cell phone. It's like, we should be done with these now.
Nice.
I feel like it's just the way that a song could take you back to like the emotions, though. Like sometimes I'll be listening to my Angsty Millennial Mom playlist, which I'll link in the show notes. I think it's honestly maybe the best thing I've ever put out on the internet. But I'll be listening to it and I'll kind of like just feel like sad. And I'm like, why do I feel this way? And I'm like, oh, because I literally remember listening to this song when I was in the parking lot and my boyfriend was eating Swedish fish and breaking up with me. I will never forget the smell of Swedish fish on his breath. And this song
was
in the background that just like, you know, takes me away. Secondhand Serenade, girl. It's that song. The reel has helped to like bring me back to reality. Like it's helped to make it funny. It was a little traumatic though. And shout out to my high school boyfriend for breaking up with me like 2 weeks before my senior prom. Ugh. And then being like, do you still want to go to the prom together? And I was like, yeah, sure do. Because like, who else am I going to go with? Am I going to make my brother come home from college and take me to prom? No, you can go to prom with me.
Smile for the picture. We're so happy.
Exactly.
Wait, did your parents know that you had broken up?
Yes. Yeah, they were not happy, but they were happier. They really liked him. My sophomore year, I went to prom with, or maybe it was my junior year, I went to prom with a senior and he left the prom tickets at our house. And so when we were at the restaurant, my dad brought them to the restaurant to drop them off and he was outside smoking weed. And my dad was not happy about that, but still let me go to prom with him. So, I mean, he wasn't that angry, but I'm like, what was that parenting vibe there, Big Dan? But yeah, so he liked my senior prom date, even though he broke up with me.
Yikes.
Also on Millennial Memories music, Lauren and I had talked about before, Sarah, the way that we would dance.
That has to do with the with my memory. Yeah.
Oh, tell us.
Okay. This was like late elementary school to middle school. I don't know if you guys ever did this, but we would have a big boom box and we would take a blank cassette tape.
Right.
Okay, and we'd put it in. And we'd turn the radio on and we'd wait until our favorite song came on and then we would hit record. So it would record the song. Did y'all do that?
Yes, of course. I remember my older sister like teaching me how to do this on a boombox. Yes.
This is like right before you could download stuff and put it on a CD. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. And then we would watch the music video, learn the dance.
Obviously.
And now we have the cassette tape so we can like rewind and do as many takes as we need to. And then we would ask our parents to videotape us doing the choreography.
On the VHS, the shoulder. Yes.
Yes. We would record, I would record music videos onto a VHS from like TRL. And then I would try and learn the dances to like Genie in a Bottle, any Britney Spears, any Christina Aguilera.
Yep.
No,
those were like
attached.
My shower songs. Like I was singing Mandy in the shower.
Right.
You know what I mean? Not necessarily in my car because I didn't want people to know I was like a Mandy Moore fan, but in the shower, it was on.
Oh, yeah. You could really belt it out.
Yes. Oh my gosh. There's something you just said that like totally took me back. Oh my gosh. TRL. Yes. I remember like when I came home, I had a snack and I was watching TRL. And the way that Usher's Burn music video is burned into my brain. Him standing around the pool when it's on fire. I swear, every time it comes on, Thomas looks at me. He's like, you going to tell me about Usher's music video now that this song's on? And I'm like, I have to. All I can think about is I can do body rolls and I can listen to this and just think of Usher in his white suit in the flames. That's all I think. I can't help it.
I just think of all of Britney Spears' world premieres. Like everything was always a world premiere on TRL. Like Crazy, she's got like the, or is that the red suit when, or
the red like pleather?
Yeah. No, Crazy is like in a,
Crazy
like a
is the schoolgirl.
Yeah. No, that's a Hit Me Baby One More Time.
Oh, that's Hit Me Baby.
What's the one with the snake? Oh, I'm a Slave for You.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was like hit after hit.
Oh, the red suit was the one where they did the like Titanic thing in the middle of the song. You know what I'm talking
and
about?
And she was like going to space and stuff too. She was in a lot of different places, but you know, all of those. That was this one. I still know the dance.
Oh my gosh. You really are doing the choreo. Also, we don't have time for questions that need answers, but one just to throw out to the universe, maybe someone will DM us the answer. How's Britney? And is she okay?
Someone told me she's writing an autobiography. I was like, she is not. You see her on Instagram. People in the comments are like, Britney, blink twice. If
people
you
think
see
that her Instagram is like AI. Like it's not even her. It's like a holograph of her.
Like I feel bad for her. She's wearing nothing. She's still trying to do those dances.
Also, the space that she has underneath her belly button to her privates, she is like a serious torso. Like the way that that sister can wear a low-rise pant, I'm like, never. I would need laser hair removal to wear the low bottom pants that she has on her Instagram Live.
Well, they're low from both places. They're short and it's a very slim piece of material on her.
I mean, I don't understand. I don't understand.
Let's get a pulse check on Britney.
Yeah. Let's get a status check.
Are you a business owner wondering how to take your marketing dollars farther? The answer is Facebook ads. But listen, you don't have time to figure out the ever-changing landscape that Meta is known for. You need an all-in-one ad strategist to create and write the ad and then get your products or services out to the right people. And that's where Numbers Drive comes in. Numbers Drive, formerly known as Ads by Curtis, is the approachable way to achieve big marketing results. Visit adsbycurtis.com to read more and set up your consult call so that you can drive your marketing strategies using data-informed decisions through full-service Facebook ads. That's adsbycurtis.com, and we'll also link it in the show notes. Now, back to the show.
Now, we have some business banter we need to get to before preschool pickup.
I'm going to hate editing this episode, guys.
I'm so sorry. But I knew this was going to happen because I was like, I can't wait to talk. You're a bestie. You're a real life bestie. So here we are. Okay. Let's get to business banter. Let's get an origin story of like, just give them the like play by play of what, like where, what was your headspace when you were teaching and you decided to try something different? We kind of know your backstory of how you got to where you are, but kind of just give them the why and the how it has evolved.
Okay. So I was a classroom teacher for 6 years. I taught first grade for 3 years. I taught second grade for 3 years. I worked at a Title I school the whole time. If you know, you know. It's a lot. Takes an emotional toll. Mm-hmm. And when I had Adeline, my daughter, you know, your priorities change and it gets that much harder to be in the classroom, especially that first year, your kid's sick all the time and just felt so burnt out. I really wanted to try something different. So I did try staying one more year as an ELL teacher, tried that and decided like, I need a change. I want to see if I can work from home somehow. And at that point, it wasn't an option for me to not work and to even really like have any downtime. Like I needed to figure something out. And so my original plan was to start an in-home daycare because that was literally the only solution I could think of. I didn't think I could do anything else. Like growing up, I nannied and then I became a teacher. Working with kids is like the only thing that I thought I could ever do. And it worked out because I was finishing up. So this was in 2019. I finished up the school year. We're building a house about an hour away and we sold our house, moved in with my parents while our new house was being built. So that gave me like a cushion. We weren't paying rent. Okay. It does give me like a little bit of flexibility to figure things out. Pretty much right after school ended, I got a Facebook ad for freelancing course.
Facebook ad targeted you at the right time.
Sure did. Cause probably I was Googling like work from home jobs for moms and thought it was fake at first because it talked about being a virtual assistant. I'd never heard of this before. I did not know that like this online world of business existed. ended up taking the course and became a virtual assistant. And within like 2 to 3 months, I had replaced like my monthly teaching income.
Wow.
And everything happened really, really quickly.
What kind of tasks were you doing originally as a virtual assistant?
Everything. Social media, website stuff, blog writing, admin type of tasks. It was definitely like, hire me and like, I'll figure it out. Yeah. I just kind of like taught myself along the way.
And were you getting leads from this course? Like, is that how you kind of got your first clients?
Yeah. So they had a job board that people would post to. And it was really active job board, which was really cool. So all of my very first client came from the Boss Moms Facebook group, and it was for Instagram help. So, but most of them came from the group. So 2019, the rest of 2019, I was doing virtual assistant stuff.
While still in the classroom?
No.
You left that summer. Okay.
Yeah. I basically like left and was like, I'm going to figure this out in the next couple months. Not quite sure what that's going to look like, but I'm just
you're like, at least I can make the money. I know that I can survive.
Yeah, exactly. So then I connected with, I was listening to a podcast, and it was a podcast for freelancers. And somebody was on there talking about how they were a podcast manager. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, what is this? This is so cool. I love podcasts. Could I really do this? I didn't really think I could when I first heard about it because it sounded like really technical. Mm-hmm. I don't have any kind of audio background or anything like that. And a couple weeks later, the girl who was on that podcast put a job opportunity up needing a virtual assistant. And she had actually created a course that teaches people how to become podcast managers. Hopefully you guys are following here.
Yep. Yeah.
And I applied, and I had told her, like, I've been considering doing podcast management, but I'm still doing virtual assistant work. And she ended up hiring me and let me like go through her course and learn all of the podcast management skills. That was Lauren Wrighton. You guys have probably heard me talk about her. I still work with her today. I kind of help with like the community aspect where I help support other podcast managers, basically. So that was end of 2019. I think that was like December 2019. We started working together. And so then for like the next year, I was in this limbo of still doing virtual assistant work, but like dipping my toes in podcast management stuff. And then COVID hit and there wasn't anything else to do. So I just like really went all in on my business. I was working like crazy, crazy hours.
Yeah. Let me interject. What were you doing with Adeline during that time? Like part of that, she was probably still like morning napping and stuff, but like when were you getting all this done? Or did you send her to a mom's morning out or kind of what'd you do?
Yeah. So at first I wasn't doing anything. She was just with me and I was doing like the multitasking thing, which I hated. And honestly, that's like, I feel like that's what's sold to you is like the nap time
hustle. You can do it all. Right.
Yeah. And I started doing it. And I'm like, I hate this. Like, I hate feeling like I can't give all my attention to work or I can't give all my attention to her. Like, I don't want to be doing both at the same time.
Right.
So I ended up doing, I think I had just started her in like a 3 hour a day,
right,
2 or 3 times a week kind of situation. But then COVID like really hit and that closed. So we were still with my, and then, oh my gosh, our house ended up taking over a year to build. So we're at my parents' house this whole time. I'm like working in the basement in this room with no windows.
Listening to Secondhand Serenade.
Yeah. Exactly. And so my mom ended up helping with her once everything shut down for COVID. She ended up helping for, I think she would give me from like 9 to 12 or something. And then Craig would get home later and I would work at night too. It was a lot. So yeah, then I was doing this mix. By the end of 2020, I really kind of started going all in on podcast management. Connected with Sarah Marie, who we all know. She's another TPT seller. She was my first podcast management client in the TPT space. So that was December 2020. And then within the next few months, starting 2021, Sarah then referred me to a few of her TPT friends. And that's where kind of like everything really changed for me in terms of my business, starting to work with people specifically in the education space. And then It was, I looked it up because I couldn't remember. It was August of 2021 that I like officially started my I officially started podcasting for educators, started a brand new Instagram page, brand new website, and just like really decided to go all in on the education space and to niche down into working with those types of clients.
Which is crazy because I got connected to you by Sarah and by Megan Polk in September 2021.
Yeah.
And you like seemed like you knew what you were doing and you had this whole thing. So I was like, which is just so cool to hear. I also think it's interesting. So Laura didn't have any, I guess she had a course to train people to be podcast managers. I always find it interesting when people have a course to teach people to do what they do. Mm-hmm. So you'd almost be like, okay, like, is this not like brand secrets? But I guess there's so much business out there that she was
and
like,
she stopped taking on clients herself. And she is just doing
coaching.
This course. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. I didn't know if she was kind of like, okay, am I losing you to something I taught you to do type thing? Or,
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. 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 With her, like with her and I, my roles have just kind of shifted in that relationship or in her business. Yeah.
Did somebody tell you, hey, you should just work with educators and like see how that goes? Or were you like, okay, this is what I know. And I think there are enough people out there. I should go just all in this direction.
Yeah. What in August made you kind of like say, okay, let's do educators?
I think I actually had a conversation with Sarah. I feel like she's always played a role in like some of my big business decisions.
She's a great verbal processor. Like I love processing with her.
Yeah, totally agree. I think for me, it was like, because for like 2 years, I was doing this like VA / podcasting thing. Mm-hmm. And so I knew I needed to just cut ties with virtual assistant work because virtual assistant can just encompass so many different things. And when people hire a virtual assistant, they think that you are like their social media manager, their website designer, their blog writer. You're in a lot of different pieces of their business. And I'm like, okay, if I really want to like go all in on something and I really want to grow this business, I feel like I need to tighten up my messaging. I want to focus in on one type of client. And I also felt like education is my background. It's what I know. And I think that would be appealing for people to be, mm-hmm. to like hire somebody in this space. And I did it for like messaging and for social media content too. And I knew I wanted to start a podcast eventually for podcast content to be able to really just focus in on that one specific niche and speak directly to them, I thought would pay off in the long run. I was definitely scared to do that because there is that limiting belief of, oh, well, if I niche down, what if I like lose other potential clients, or what if there's not enough people in this space? Because I mean, there really weren't many in the beginning when I started this. My goal was to make people aware of why they should start a podcast in the first place, because there weren't that many TBT sellers podcasting.
I mean, and even still, if you think about the number of successful TBT sellers and the percent of them that have a podcast,
right.
It's still very, very small. Most think I need to have a blog. They don't think I could use a podcast instead. So like your potential for your, client is enormous.
Right.
Do you feel like when you made that decision in August, that was when you were like, this is a business? Or like, do you think from day one, when you were like, I'm leaving the classroom, were you like, I'm starting a business? Or were you like, I'm just going to do what I need to do to stay home?
I knew I was starting a business, but I was thinking of it as I'm starting a business to help other people with their business. I'm going to be behind the scenes. Whereas when I started podcasting for educators, it was like, no, I'm going to be forward facing now. Like I am going to be this brand. I am going to be showing my face. And that was totally different from what I was doing before.
Totally.
I love it. Inspiring.
You're a business owner.
Yeah.
Now, what does a typical work week look like for you?
So Adeline is our only child and she is in first grade this year. So she has a normal school schedule. I take her to the bus at 8:00-ish and she gets off the bus at 3:40. And so I'm working during that time. I've changed my schedule so many times, but now I try to just work during her school hours. I'm very happy to say that I really don't work nights and weekends anymore. Thank goodness. That is only like a recent change. I mean, I really try to just like stick to those traditional hours, which is funny because like I said earlier in the beginning, when you become a service provider in the online space, that messaging is flexibility, which like I do have and I'm so grateful for. But I think it's also okay to work from home and have your own business and still work traditional, quote unquote, work hours.
Do you build in any time during that 8 to 3:30-ish period that is not work? Like, do you have like I love Kendra Adachi from Lazy Genius is always like, I take an hour lunch. Like I force myself to take an hour so that I can like have downtime or, you know, how do you navigate that?
Yeah. So I have made a big effort to like take several breaks throughout the day. So I'm definitely not sitting at my computer. Like I'll go for 2 to 3 walks during the day. A lot of my neighbors work from home. So we'll like just text each other, hey, when's a good time for you? We'll go out for a walk. I do finally take like an official lunch break where I'm not at my computer working while I'm eating. Mm-hmm. I actually like go in a different room, have lunch. I take lots and lots of breaks and I'll, you know, get up and go to the grocery store if I need to or do whatever I need to do, which is honestly the best part of having your own business, I think, being able to just get up and leave the house whenever I need to. So I'm not like super rigid with this is exactly when I need to be at my desk, but I do like routine. So I like to have those like general hours that I'm working.
You have the flexibility to go to the dentist and use 3 meters of floss on your bottom teeth.
Yeah.
Whenever
you want to.
Which like the teachers listening know. I know lots of jobs are like 9 to 5, but like I feel like teaching, especially because you have classes, you can't just like leave for an hour and go run, you know, to your annual OBGYN pap smear to the post office to return your newly order. Like it's so hard to make any of those appointments because you really are like stuck in a building for 8 hours.
Exactly. And Fridays, I try to make a CEO day, like my day where I'm like working on stuff for my business versus client work.
I love that. I was going to ask if you did any kind of batching or how you do it.
I never do calls on Fridays. I make Friday kind of like a flex day. Last year, I would go in and volunteer in Adeline's classroom. I'm hoping to do that again this year, which is like, it really is so amazing to be able to do that.
I've thought about that so many times of even just the school schedule, like working in a high school, our school went past the time of the elementary pickup, you know? I'm like, I would not be able to pick up my daughter from school.
How are people doing it? Going back now, I'm like, I was so naive. Like when I was teaching high school, I'm like, what were all my coworkers doing? Like who had their kids since we got out an hour and a half later?
I grew up with a working mom and I would be like, Mom, why don't you come to this? I probably like made her feel guilty all the time. And she's like,
same.
What are all the other parents doing? Like, I remember being like, does nobody work these days? Like, I mean, we came home. I would be at home by myself for a little bit with my Coke and my bagel bites and watching TRL.
Rode the bus home, watch TRL. Maybe I'll go Gilmore Girls if you're feeling wholesome.
But even before that, it was like you worked out a carpooling schedule with somebody else who, like somebody else's mom who was a nurse who had like different hours or, I mean, we just worked carpools.
Yep. My dad always did like the 9 p.m. pickup from practice. They never were the 5 drop off or whatever. It's hard. So yeah, there is that flexibility there. What would be something you never maybe thought was possible that you've been able to achieve with your business? And it could be like, you could have something small scale like that, like just that flexibility that's nice, your Flex Fridays, or it could be something, you know, bigger.
I mean, honestly, for me, it is those like little moments. Every morning when I take Adeline to the bus stop, Craig leaves for work at 4:30 every morning. So like if I was in the classroom, we would probably have to hire somebody to be with her in the mornings. And same with after school, Craig's not usually home by the time she gets home from school. Going out to the grocery store, like those little moments are what makes it so amazing and something that I never thought I'd be able to do. Over the summer, like my parents live at the lake in South Carolina and I would just pack up my laptop and we'd go for like 2 weeks and I would just work from there. And it's amazing to be able to do that.
I love that. God, there's nothing worse than teaching. Lauren and I were roommates before we both got married. And like, what did we always call her? Street rat lunches or what would we call them?
Oh, I mean, just scrap lunches.
We would leave the school at like 5:30. And then you're like, do I really want to go to the grocery store at 6 p.m.? You're like, no. And then you're like, but I won't have anything to eat in the morning. You're like, whatever, I'll make it work. And then like the next day you're packing your lunch and you're like, here's an apple.
And you're like, I don't even have any Tupperware or Ziplocs to bring this in. No. I'll just bring the bag of cereal with me.
Like, yes.
And an apple and a couple of peanut butter crackers because all the bread's stale. Like, because you just didn't want to go. Like the flexibility.
Exhausted.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I remember going like the first year I had Adeline. I would have to drag her out of bed at like 6:30 because I had to be at work by 7. And I would be the first person in the driveway of our daycare because I was going to be there right when they opened the doors. And I hated every minute of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you have like a lot of different aspects of your business, even still. Like I know you said the virtual assistant's done, but you know, you've got your courses, you got your own podcast, you've got, you know, obviously all your clients like us, especially us making extra podcasts.
High maintenance ones.
I know, right? Like, when did you start bringing in other help? And like, kind of what does that look like?
Yeah. So this happened for sure because of a conversation that I had with Sarah Marie, mm-hmm. because it was amazing to be like, I can say that I've podcasting for educators has been so successful on the client end because of referrals, mm-hmm. which is great. But at the same time, everybody's like friends and it makes it hard to say like, no, I'm full. I can't take anybody mm-hmm. else on, especially like I would have somebody reach out and say, I'm interested in starting a podcast. And we'd meet and I'd be like, oh, I just love this person. Like, I really want to work with them. And I remember talking to Sarah and being like, because I was having to turn people away because I just didn't have the capacity. And I remember talking to Sarah and just saying, I really just can't take anybody else on right now. And that's fine. And, you know, I'll have a wait list or I'll have people that I can refer them to. And she was like, well, I would, you know, challenge you to think about how you could expand this and think about how you could really make a bigger impact with your business by starting a team and having people helping you so that you could continue to take on new clients. And so
I would think that your retainer clients are making you the most money too.
For sure. That's definitely, yeah.
And that's like steady income. You know, if they sign on with you, yes. they're going to be coming back month after month. So that was smart of her to be like, hey, I think you should stop turning people away for that portion of your business.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, my retainer clients are like the bulk of my income. But when I hear that word agency, I knew that I never wanted to be like, I really don't have any desire to like grow my client roster much bigger than it is right mm-hmm. now, because I don't want to become one of those agencies that has no personal touch points. Like I love that. That's why I call it like a boutique agency, mm-hmm. because I still have, like, you guys can send me Voxer messages whenever you want to, and we can talk about your podcast, and I still have that capacity to do that. And that's one of my favorite parts about having retainer clients. So I struggled with like, because, you know, you have to, if you're going to build a team, you have to have enough clients to make it any bit profitable for you. So I started slowly, and it took, and we're still a work in progress, but it took a good like year to really build a solid team. Started with one editor and then kind of built from there. Now I have 5 people on my team, and it's worked out really well because there are people who have podcast management experience, but they only like the editing portion and they are maybe really introverted and they don't want to have that communication with a bunch of clients. So it's like an ideal situation for them. So yeah, I just started slowly. And as I brought people onto the team, I brought on new clients.
That's great. So you like scale them together.
Yeah.
Is there something you're still doing that you're like hoping to hire out?
Well, I mean, number one, I definitely am still doing some of the doing. Like I am still in shows doing things like that. As far as like for my business, I would love to finally hire somebody for social media because I've tried it before. It didn't quite work out. I feel like it's hard to find the right person to do your social media. Do you have a social media person, Rebecca?
You're kidding.
Thank you for teeing me off so I can mention it in every single podcast.
Oh. You got to find the right person.
I had to do it.
No, I get that. Like I hired an agency and I was like, this is so impersonal. Like, and you need to talk like me.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, social media is something I've always kind of struggled with. It's such a roller coaster for me. Like I'll go all in for a week and be doing reels every day. And then I'm like, oh, that was exhausting. And I won't post anything for like 2 weeks.
I kind of love that though. I mean, like literally, I would not have daily posts. I would just do when I'm inspired. That's what I do on Momfluencer. I'm just like, whenever I feel like it.
Right. Yeah. And it feels more authentic too. So like, it's working for now, eventually one day. But I also think about, okay, where is the bulk of my income coming from and where are those people coming from? And it's not from Instagram. So,
right. Sarah, you have probably heard us talk about this on whose podcast was it?
Brittany Heggie's.
Yep. Lifestyle versus growth business. Where do you see podcasting for educators going? What's like your dream version of the job long term? Do you see yourself being lifestyle or growth business or some sort of like combo, or right now it's one thing and in the future it'll be a different thing?
Yeah, I've thought a lot about this since hearing you guys talk about it. And I think I'm kind of a mix of both. I think long term, I definitely see it as a growth business. I definitely have things I want to build and tweak on the client side. But something I really want to focus on is that online course side and really building a community of podcasters in that area. I've been going through a lot of things personally that you guys know about. We're working on trying to grow our family. And so I would say like for the next year, I'm considering myself more of a lifestyle business, trying to, you know, maintain things and just keep doing what I'm doing. And that's something I've always struggled with is I have all these ideas. I want to do them now. But I'm kind of telling myself for the next year, like, let's soak up what I've built and really let that ride out. And there's always going to be time to do the next thing.
And think about what you've built in 3 or 4 years. Like, that was so much. It was something big from nothing that, like, you can be a chill lifestyle business for a couple of years and then, like, hit the ground running in 3 or 4 more years, have like massive growth. It can ebb and flow, I think.
Yeah. Lauren and I laugh because we never seem, I love the lifestyle. I think I'm forever a lifestyle business. I think Lauren has more ideas. So she's more going to be a growth business one day, but we laugh with our lifestyles. We kind of alternate it. Like one of us is kind of taking a slow year when the other one's crazy. Like right now I'm the one who's like constantly voice moving her stuff. And she's like, I'm going to get a pedicure because I feel disgusting. And I'm like, I'm so jealous. I want to get a pedicure, but I owe Sarah Whitaker like 18 podcast episodes by Monday.
So I was like, I have been in like launch mode for like 2 months where I haven't like been able to take a breath. And so I'm like, I have a day that I can do that.
When Rob was a newborn and you were launching, I wanted to punch you in the face because I had 4.5 brain cells and you'd be like, let me send you just like a debrief of my launch idea and you let me know what you think. And I'm like, oh my God, I can get a pencil and paper. So I think that is one of the blessings of being an entrepreneur is like, I'm so grateful in this season that's really hard that you have the flexibility to be like, let's maintain.
Yes. And I think like we all need to remember to do that and to reflect on that. When I'm super stressed out, I'm like, I literally did this to myself. Like, I don't have to take on this much. I need to chill. And so that's what I'm doing right now.
Yeah. I think that's great. Tell me about Craig's involvement in your business. Like, does he know what you do? Is he like, that sounds great for you, but I'm at work at 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah. What's he doing at 4:30?
Dude. It's crazy. And he goes to bed at like midnight and he pops right out of bed. That kid, he never hits snooze. He doesn't need sleep. I know
people like that. It's crazy.
It's so weird. It's like genetic. And he doesn't get bags under, like he's fine.
He doesn't need the gold.
He doesn't need the eye masks in the morning.
He's not a part of that subscribe and renew situation.
No. So Craig is not involved in my business at all, which I'm always like fascinated. And I think it's so cool when people's husbands are involved in their business. And for a while I was like, why don't you like want to know more about what I'm doing? For a while, actually, when I was trying to decide if I wanted to build my team or not, we were like kind of joking, kind of serious about him just joining me and like us doing this together. But he would never be able to work from home. He needs to be out in the world outside of the house. But no, he doesn't do anything with my business. But he has always been so supportive of anything that I ever do. Like I'll talk to him sometimes not about like investments that I'm making in my business. And he's like, great. Sounds great, babe. Like you got this. So, I mean, he'll listen if I want to talk about it, and he like gets the gist of what I do, but he is amazing. He cooks us dinner every single night. We do everything 50-50 with Adeline. Like he is just so involved. I say that he doesn't do anything with my business, but I wouldn't be able to have this business without him.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. I love that. That's funny. I like in the beginning would always want to tell Thomas about like what I was creating. And he's like, cool, don't care. now like his only real involvement is like every couple of days be like, how much money have we made so far this month? How's it tracking compared to like, you know, last month? Like that's all he wants to know. He thinks it's like a game of Monopoly.
Yeah.
Right. Monopoly money.
Okay. I know Adeline is in first grade, but she's a little bit older than our kids, but how would she describe then what you do? Like, does she really understand or what does she think? Like mom just sits there on headphones all day.
So I asked her this morning because I know you guys ask people this and she said, you work from home. And I said, well, what do I do? And she said, you work on podcasts, but she couldn't say podcasts. She said like podcast is. And I was like, do you remember what a podcast is? And we always used to listen to, oh gosh, I'm blanking on the name, Mr. Jim. Have you guys ever listened to
Is that like a storytelling one?
Yeah, it's a storytelling podcast. And so like, that's what she thinks of when she thinks
you're
podcast.
Telling stories to the mm-hmm. internet.
Yeah. I mean, basically. So. Yeah.
So she like kind of has an understanding, but definitely not super in depth.
Ellie like sees the headphones and the microphones and then like knows something about high school counseling. So her like, she'll be like, hello, high school counselors. Like,
oh my gosh.
No depth beyond that of like, what am I saying to them?
Nan just thinks I do science. Like the other day she came in from her quiet time when her time went off. She goes, hey mom, how'd your science go today? How was doing the science? I was like, it was great. Like, I'm like, what does that mean to you that you think mommy does science? She did say once at preschool they had like science day, which I'm like, of course there's only one day the whole year they talk about science. Yeah. And they did like a couple experiments. And she was like, my mom does these in the kitchen all the time because I'm always having to test them out. I was like, the teacher was probably like, yeah, right. And she was like, no, seriously, my mom does science. Oh, man. Okay. Lauren, what do you want the final question to be?
Oh, I want to know, like, I think that somebody is going to listen to this and say, okay, I can see myself getting into this with no tech experience, or I could do something like virtual online and really see themselves starting where you did, doing a variety of like virtual assistant type stuff and then figuring out what they like. So what advice would you give to someone who is like, oh, this kind of sounds appealing?
I think especially after working with like helping a lot of other podcast managers, I see people when they enter the online space, they think that they have to have everything figured out before they can actually like launch their business. Mm-hmm. And so I would say to anybody who's listening, thinking about this, A, you definitely have the skills to do anything, whether it's a podcast manager, social media manager, virtual assistant, you can learn as you go. You don't have to have everything figured out in the beginning. You don't have to be super niche down. Like all of these things will come with time. And especially if you start as a virtual assistant, it's amazing because you learn so much mm-hmm. by seeing the back end of other people's business. So invest in what's going to help you get started, like an online course that teaches you how to like create a portfolio and get testimonials so that you can get those first few clients. There are more than enough clients out there for all of us. Everybody needs support in their business. So I just think you should know that like you are more than capable of doing this.
Are there places specifically that you would recommend that they go?
Oh, yeah, definitely. So I took Michaela Quinn's course and
you can link it.
Yeah, I'll link it. I'm blanking on the name. Live Free Academy. She's changed the name a couple times, but I'll put it in the show notes. And that's what I took. It will teach you everything you need to know. And you get that job board with it, which really helps you like get going and get those first few clients. And then if you're interested in podcast management, it's called the Podcast Manager Program. That's Lauren Wrighton's course. And it teaches you about starting your business and about learning the skills to do podcasting.
What if someone's listening and they already have a podcast or they already have a business, and they maybe want to start a podcast? Mm-hmm. Would your course help them or is your course more educator specific?
Yeah. So I have had people join who aren't educators. I have a course called the Podcasting for Educators Prep School, and it really walks you through everything you need to not only start your podcast, but also grow it over time and manage it over time so that it is something you can have long term. And while I am speaking to educators, all of the information that's in that course can be applied to any kind of podcaster that has a business.
Yay.
Great.
Sarah, I love you. I'm so glad you were here.
I love you guys too. This has been so much fun. I'm seriously honored to come on here and follow the car mom.
Well, before we go, we need to read a review because we tell people to leave 5-star reviews all the time, but we never follow them up and reward them for their hard work by reading a review. I don't know who this is. Some of the people I can like kind of figure out by their Apple ID, which is maybe their middle school username.
When they got their iPod in 2006.
That's like how mine shows up, I'm pretty sure. But this is from C Player. I don't know who that is. But she said, relatable, funny, and inspiring. On a 3-hour car ride solo, one way, I listened to multiple episodes. This podcast is filled with relatable conversations and funny content that brings you back to the younger good times. I can't wait for my next solo trip. With the emoji of the tongue sticking out and the eye winking.
Oh, I love it.
That's a great one.
Can I give the, like, this is who should write a review?
Yes, today? Please.
Okay. This is not something we talked about. If you think that NSYNC should do a reunion tour, write a review.
Lauren and I have already texted about this. We will go. Also, maybe, Sarah, you come and we'll put it as a business expense.
Yes.
We'll make it a podcasting retreat. And then part of it is an outing to see NSYNC.
Oh my God. Right. Amazing. Sign me up. That was going to be my questions that need answers. Is NSYNC going on tour?
That was on mine too, actually.
I don't know. I can't decide, but I'm so excited to see.
I mean, I'm saying that they are. So me I'm too. Just sitting here waiting at my computer so I can buy tickets.
That or we're just going to all see the Trolls movie and listen to the Trolls soundtrack because that's going to be the letdown if they don't tour.
God. All right. I got to go.
Thanks, guys.
Love y'all.
This is the best.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Bestie Business Banter Podcast.
If you like what you hear, head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a 5-star review.
If you have thoughts on the show or the segments you heard today, send us a DM over on the Momfluencer Instagram.
See you next time, Business Bestie.